is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Good Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in to In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Nick McNamara here. In studio, we have a pretty decent show coming up for you. At least I think it's pretty decent. Later in the episode, or near the end, we're going to have some talk about Talk 20 MHK with UFM Education Coordinator Kayla Savage and Mary Swab of the Manhattan Public Library. But coming up right now, we have in studio with us Assistant Professor of Communication Studies and Assistant Director for the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, Tim Schaefer. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
He's a pretty decent guest.
Yeah, you know, I
big time.
I'll do what I can. You know, I only have so much capacity.
Of course.
And I show up on Monday mornings too. So this is, you know, it's
better than some of us.
Yeah, Mondays are rough.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here.
And we haven't really officially met yet.
No.
This is the first time we've talked online.
So we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, we will. I've listened to your voice, but
hey,
I've never really met you in person.
Does it match the description?
Yeah, it does pretty well.
I'm always struck by whenever I listen to a lot of radio and news and things, NPR and other sources locally as well. And I'm always struck when I see the people. I'm like, oh, that's what you look like, right? Because some of the voices match up, but most of the time, it's a little different, and it you know, right? We all create those images, so yeah. So I'm not gonna dare assume that your listening audience has any visual images of what I might look like. But
in my early days in radio, I was doing a remote broadcast, and this is back, you know, 60 pounds ago, or maybe more. And a woman came up to me and says, "You can't be Dave Lewis. You're supposed to be short, fat, and 50."
Whoa.
Thanks.
She was just thinking very forward.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the short part.
Yeah. No, it is interesting. I did some radio in college, and I sat on the other side, which I enjoyed, but I also had the amazingly awful time slot of, it was like 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. or something like that. It was just at the right time that I was the only poor soul going in to get breakfast earlier than everybody else.
In college, they make you do that?
Yeah, it was a 24-hour window, and it was my first year. So, and we were it was always a top-rated radio station in the country, kind of top 10 thing. And so it was a pretty hot gig, and I didn't realize it, you know. So I went to the info booth, and they're like, "Yeah, you can get your own show." I was like, "This is fantastic!" And they're like, "What about, you know?" And then it literally was like 4 to 6, or like 4:30 to 6:30.
Yeah, they threw that in at the last second.
Huh? Oh yeah, it was after I had said how excited I was, and I was really grateful and thankful and all those kinds of things. But no, it was great. It, you know, it also alleviated some of the concern or the pressure that I had of feeling like there was, you know, too much of a listening audience, that, you know, I could learn as I went along and not feel the immense pressure. So anyway,
I did some midnight broadcasts at my college. Not 4 a.m.
Well,
but I did
good.
Some midnight.
Well, you're much better than I. Shortly thereafter, I switched around what I was doing. But yeah, that was fun.
Talking here with Assistant Professor of Communication Studies and Assistant Director for the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, Tim Schaefer here. And, of course, as always, if you have any comments, questions, or just topics you want to bring up, you can call in 785-537-1350, get our viewpoints on it. We'll get Tim's viewpoints on it, rather. I'm sure his is a little bit more measured than ours.
Well.
But, of course, it's always good to talk to you, you know, just based on my listening to past episodes.
Yeah.
To check in on what's been going on around the Institute and what types of travels you've been doing.
Yeah, so there's definitely been some traveling, but you know, the first thing I guess I would mention is that last week, on Friday actually, so part of the Institute that I helped direct with David Proctor, who some folks, longtime Manhattanites, would know that name. He's the director of the Institute. For the last couple of years, we've been doing the Civic Engagement Fellows Program for faculty. So on Friday, we met with about just shy of a dozen professors from all sorts of different disciplines, and I'm going to spend the next year with them introducing them to some of this kind of work. And so some of them are already doing these types of things, but a good number of them aren't. And so it's exciting when I think about what we're doing at K-State as it connects with the broader kind of work and purpose of the university, how we're engaging different people. So we've got an agronomist, we have a scientist who does some local programming, Science on Tap, we have a dance professor, We've got all sorts of folks who are going to be going through this program, but they're going to be learning some of the principles, some of the practices of civil discourse, and how does it show up in the kind of work that they're doing, especially when they're engaging different publics kind of out there, both locally as well as across the state. And in fact, in lots of other contexts, some people are doing some international work. And so I just mentioned that because I think sometimes, I especially when I get the chance to come in here and speak about some of what's going on or comment on other work nationally or national or state politics, sometimes we don't always focus on what's happening right here. And I guess it's helpful just to say that, you know, K-State is pretty serious and committed to some of these ideals and practices and trying to introduce people who otherwise aren't really trained in some of these things. They're more accustomed to kind of going out and telling people, like, this is what you ought to do. This is the problem, and here's a solution, because we've done experiments, we've, you know, got some science behind it, those kinds of things. But there's also this other side, this kind of civic element, right? How do we talk to people across lines of difference? How do we engage with people who are not happy to hear what we have to say, for example? How do we create space for those robust conversations, whether it's about, as locally, I know in the past we've talked about, how do you, you know, argue for, and right now we'll have it on this fall election, right, a bond issue for a school. There's a lot of complicating factors there that people need to think through, what are the benefits, what are the negatives, what are these trade-offs, how do we navigate this, and it's that kind of issue that ideally, if we can frame it through this kind of democratic discussion, it can sometimes turn out a little better than otherwise if it's just like get out there and advocate for your position and have the other people on the other side do the same thing.
I find it very interesting that you have such a diverse group there with you that you're talking about. Is that typical when you go off to these speaking engagements or these forums?
Well, it depends. But like what we're trying to do with faculty is very intentionally reach people from across different fields and disciplines. And so K-State is a big university. So we have all sorts of people, the humanities, the arts, all the way to the sciences. We've got an agronomist, a biologist, a dance professor, a communication studies professor, you know, and the list goes on. Some of this work comes naturally to some people, right? We might be like, oh, you study communication or you're a political science person. That makes sense. But for some of these other folks, some of these other fields, it's an introduction to something that they've never been kind of familiarized with or trained in. And this is a great chance for us as an institution to help them think about how they're working with and engaging all sorts of publics. We've got some people working out in the western part of Kansas on the aquifer issue, right? There's a couple significant ways you could go at it. Pump it till it's empty, right? Till it's dry. And we're going to meet the needs that we have in the short term. But what are the implications if these people want to have their grandkids be able to live on the property, if there wants to be a future where there is water, for example, pretty important for communities to thrive or even to exist, how do we mitigate that? How do we adjust our expectations in both the short, you know, near and long term that, you know, maybe we have to give up a little bit of something that we really want to have right now? And that's some of what we're doing and helping support others do.
And what are some of the reactions you get in these, I guess, multi-studies communications, I guess you could say.
Well, the same thing that happens in kind of public forums is that, you know, people are coming from a lot of different perspectives. How they see the world is often how they think the world exists and how they make sense of it. And so creating some space for interaction that allows people to bring their expertise but also not have that dominate a conversation is really important. So some of the principles, the practices that we have of how do you cultivate this kind of civil discussion are the same things that we use in the public forums as well as these kind of professional settings with professors, for example, on a Friday afternoon.
And some part of it, I feel like, just has to be a level of reaching across an aisle and being able to have a discussion about, you know, all these different ideas.
Yeah, and also, you know, even, you know, the language that we choose to use, like, you know, reaching across an aisle or bridging differences, these kinds of things, realizing it's not either just, you know, this or that, that there are these kind of rich nuances, and especially with folks who are typically trained in, you know, exploring those kind of nuances or kind of probing those a little differently than maybe just in a casual observer would. There's a different chance, a different way to kind of put some stuff together. So yeah, it's You know, it's one of these in-house programs that we're doing that I think at the end will help them both professionally kind of develop who they are and what they're doing, but also the broader impact is, you know, all the people that they're engaging through their work have the opportunity to experience a different way that the university might be working with them.
And in the long term, the goal there also would be, you know, getting people to engage in the civic discourse, and hopefully that would promote a better community for everyone there.
Yeah.
There's also a unique opportunity that's happening tonight, and this is not necessarily about the civic discourse, but in so many things, particularly the judicial system, the state Supreme Court has two hearings tonight at Manhattan High School's West Campus at Rezac Auditorium. That starts at 6:30. That is a really unique opportunity for us here living in and around Manhattan, because we typically would not get that opportunity to go in, and you wouldn't think about necessarily going to a Supreme Court hearing.
Yeah, it's not the thing that just pops in your mind, like, hey, I'm going to pop over to Topeka and see how this thing's going out. But yeah, I mean, I think, Dave, you're exactly right. I mean, the jury process is a phenomenal demonstration of kind of democracy in action, seeing it happen and realizing, you know, how that happens beyond, you know, kind of the TV version of court cases and such. And then significantly, and I use this actually in a class right now in about a week, I have students spend a lot of time studying juries as these examples of small group communication, how people work through issues, that it's a unique situation to kind of observe a jury. They don't know each other. They're coming in without a good sense of who the other folks are beyond kind of their assumptions. And then they have to come out making a unanimous decision, not just saying like, yeah, most of us say this is what ought to be done. And so, yeah, so it's a great opportunity. And for those who, you know, are curious or just kind of piqued their interest, I would echo the sentiment that being able to observe and experience that process is a significant thing, because, I mean, these are real too. I mean, it's not pretend.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, that's happening at the Manhattan High West campus tonight, 6:30. I understand there's a bit of a reception following the two hearings, two cases that they're going to be reviewing tonight, so that people have the opportunity and public are invited to attend.
Yeah, that's great.
And encourage. And that's one of the things that the Supreme Court's wanting to do, is to try to basically, you know, kind of inform, educate populace about what they do.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things, whether it's the judicial system or anything of politics, I mean, we often talk about politics when I'm here. All of that can seem so foreign. It's a thing you read in the paper. It's something you see at a distance, or if a court case comes out, and whether, you know, the ruling about schools last year or other things like that, it can just seem so otherworldly. And I think there's a humanizing aspect to be able to observe it. And especially for younger people, as you're trying to think of who they are and what they want to be doing and to be, you know, to be citizens in a way, that's one significant avenue to explore. And so it's a great opportunity for everybody.
Very good. Talking with Assistant Professor of Communication Studies and Assistant Director for the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, Tim Schaefer. It's time for a break. When we come back, we'll have more to talk about here on News Radio KMAN.